paths untrodden. In paths untrodden, in the growth by margins of pond waters, escaped from the life that exhibits itself, from all the standards hitherto published, from the pleasures, profits, conformities, which too long I was offering to feed my soul. Clear to me now, standards not yet published, clear to me that my soul, that the soul of the man I speak for rejoices in comrades, here by myself, away from the clank of the world, tallying and talked to here by tongues aromatic, no longer abashed, for in this secluded spot I can respond as I would not dare elsewhere. Strong upon me the life that does not exhibit itself, yet contains all the rest. Resolved to sing no songs today but those of manly attachment, projecting them along that substantial life, bequeathing hence types of athletic love. Afternoon, this delicious ninth month in my 41st year, I proceed, for all who are or have been young men, to tell the secret of my nights and days, to celebrate the need of comrades. Crossing Brooklyn Ferry. Flood tide below me. I see you face to face. Clouds of the west. Sun there half an hour high. I see you also face to face. Crowds of men and women attired in the usual costumes. How curious you are to me. On the ferry boats, the hundreds and hundreds that cross, returning home, are more curious to me than you suppose. And you that shall cross from shore to shore years hence are more to me, and more in my meditations, than you might suppose. The impalpable sustenance of me from all things at all hours of the day, the simple, compact, well-joined scheme, myself disintegrated, everyone disintegrated yet part of the scheme, the similitudes of the past and those of the future, the glories strung like beads on my smallest sights and hearings, on the walk in the street and the passage over the river, the current rushing so swiftly and swimming with me far away, the others that are to follow me, the ties between me and them, the certainty of others, the life, love, sight, hearing of others. Others will enter the gates of the ferry and cross from shore to shore. Others will watch the run of the flood tide. Others will see the shipping of Manhattan north and west and the heights of Brooklyn to the south and east. Others will see the islands large and small. 50 years hence, others will see them as they cross, the sun half an hour high. 100 years hence, or ever so many 100 years hence, others will see them, will enjoy the sunset, the pouring in of the flood tide, the falling back to the sea of the ebb tide. It avails not, time nor place. Distance avails not. I am with you, you men and women of a generation, or ever so many generations hence. Just as you feel when you look on the river and sky, so I felt. Just as any of you is one of a living crowd, I was one of a crowd. Just as you were refreshed by the gladness of the river and the bright flow, I was refreshed. Just as you stand and lean on the rail, yet hurry with the swift current, I stood, yet was hurried. Just as you look on the numberless masts of ships and the thick-stemmed pipes of steamboats, I looked. I, too many and many a time, crossed the river of old, watched the 12th-month seagulls, saw them high in the air, floating with motionless wings, oscillating their bodies, saw how the glistening yellow lit up parts of their bodies and left the rest in strong shadow, saw the slow-wheeling circles and the gradual edging toward the south, saw the reflection of the summer sky in the water, had my eyes dazzled by the shimmering track of beams, looked at the fine centrifugal spokes of light around the shape of my head in the sunlit water, looked on the haze on the hills southward and southwestward, looked on the vapor as it flew in fleeces tinged with violet, looked toward the lower bay to notice the vessels arriving, saw their approach, saw aboard those that were near me, saw the white sails of schooners and sloops, saw the ships at anchor, the sailors at work in the rigging or out astride the spars, the round masts, the swinging motion of the hulls, the slender serpentine pennants, the large and small steamers in motion, the pilots in their pilot houses, the white wake left by the passage, the quick tremulous whirl of the wheels, the flags of all nations, the falling of them at sunset, the scallop-edged waves in the twilight, the ladled cups, the frolicsome crests and glistening, the stretch afar growing dimmer and dimmer, the grey walls of the granite storehouses by the docks, on the river the shadowy group, the big steam tug closely flanked on each side by the barges, the hay boat, the belated lighter. On the neighbouring shore, the fires from the foundry chimneys burning high and glaringly into the night, casting their flicker of black, contrasted with wild red and yellow light, over the tops of houses and down into the clefts of the streets. These, and all else, were to me the same as they are to you. I loved well those cities, loved well the stately and rapid river. The men and women I saw were all near to me, others the same, others who look back on me because I looked forward to them. The time will come, though I stop here today and tonight. What is it then between us? What is the count of the scores or hundreds of years between us? Whatever it is, it avails not. Distance avails not, and place avails not. I too lived. Brooklyn of ample hills was mine. I too walked the streets of Manhattan Island and bathed in the waters around it. I too felt the curious abrupt questioning stir within me. In the day among crowds of people, sometimes they came upon me. In my walks home late at night or as I lay in my bed, they came upon me. I too had been struck from the float, forever held in solution. I too had received identity by my body. That I was, I knew was of my body. And what I should be, I knew I should be of my body. It is not upon you alone the dark patches fall. The dark threw its patches down upon me also. The best I had done seemed to me blank and suspicious. My great thoughts as I supposed them, were they not in reality meager? Nor is it you alone who know what it is to be evil. I am he who knew what it was to be evil. I too knitted the old knot of contrariety. Blabbed, blushed, resented, lied, stole, grudged, had guile, anger, lust, hot wishes, I dared not speak. Was wayward, vain, greedy, shallow, sly, cowardly, malignant. The wolf, the snake, the hog, not wanting in me. The cheating look, the frivolous word, the adulterous wish, not wanting. Refusals, hates, postponements, meanness, laziness, none of these wanting. Was one with the rest, the days and haps of the rest. Was called by my highest name, by clear, loud voices of young men as they saw me approaching or passing. Felt their arms on my neck as I stood, or the negligent leaning of their flesh against me as I sat. So many I loved in the street or ferryboat or public assembly, yet never told them a word. Lived the same life with the rest, the same old laughing, gnawing, sleeping. Played the part that still looks back on the actor or actress, the same old role, the role that is what we make it, as great as we like, or as small as we like, or both great and small. Closer yet I approach you. What thought you have of me now? I had as much of you. I laid in my stores in advance. I considered long and seriously of you, before you were born. Who was to know what should come home to me? Who knows but I am enjoying this? Who knows for all the distance but I am as good as looking at you now, for all you cannot see me? What can ever be more stately and admirable to me than mast-hemmed Manhattan? River and sunset and scallop-edged waves of flood tide, the seagulls oscillating their bodies, the hay boat in the twilight, and the belated lighter. What gods can exceed these that clasp me by the hand, and with voices I love call me promptly and loudly by my nighest name as I approach? What is more subtle than this which ties me to the woman or man that looks in my face, which fuses me into you now and pours my meaning into you? We understand then, do we not? What I promised without mentioning it, have you not accepted? What the study could not teach, what the preaching could not accomplish, is accomplished. Is it not? Flow on, river. Flow with the flood tide and ebb with the ebb tide. Frolic on, crested and scallop-edged waves. Gorgeous clouds of the sunset, Drench with your splendor me or the men and women generations after me. Cross from shore to shore, countless crowds of passengers. Stand up, tall masts of Manhattan. Stand up, beautiful hills of Brooklyn. Throb, baffled and curious brain. Throw out questions and answers. Suspend here and everywhere, eternal float of solution. Gaze, loving and thirsting eyes, in the house or street or public assembly. Sound out, voices of young men. Loudly and musically call me by my nighest name. Live, old life. Play the part that looks back on the actor or actress. Play the old role, the role that is great or small according as one makes it. Consider, you who peruse me, whether I may not in unknown ways be looking upon you. Be firm, rail over the river to support those who lean idly, yet haste with the hasting current. Fly on, seabirds, fly sideways, or wheel in large circles high in the air. Receive the summer sky, you water, and faithfully hold it till all downcast eyes have time to take it from you. Diverge, find spokes of light from the shape of my head or anyone's head in the sunlit water. Come on, ships from the lower bay, pass up or down, white sail schooners, sloops, lighters, flaunt away, flags of all nations, be duly lowered at sunset. Burn high your fires, foundry chimneys, cast black shadows at nightfall, cast red and yellow light over the tops of the houses. Appearances now are henceforth indicate what you are. You necessary film, continue to envelop the soul. About my body for me, and your body for you, be hung our divinest aromas. Thrive, cities! Bring your freight, bring your shows, ample and sufficient rivers. Expand, being than which none else is perhaps more spiritual, keep your places, objects than which none else is more lasting. You have waited. You always wait, you dumb, beautiful ministers. We receive you with free sense at last and are insatiate henceforward. Not you anymore shall be able to foil us or withhold yourselves from us. We use you and do not cast you aside. We plant you permanently within us. We fathom you not. We love you. There is perfection in you also. You furnish your parts toward eternity, great or small. You furnish your parts toward the soul. Scented herbage of my breast. Scented herbage of my breast. Leaves from you I glean, I write, to be perused best afterwards. Tomb leaves, body leaves, growing up above me, above death. Perennial roots, tall leaves. Oh, the winter shall not freeze you, delicate leaves. Every year shall you bloom again. Out from where you retired, you shall emerge again. Oh, I do not know whether many passing by will discover you or inhale your faint odor, but I believe a few will. Oh, slender leaves, oh, blossoms of my blood, I permit you to tell in your own way of the heart that is under you. Oh, I do not know what you mean there underneath yourselves. You are not happiness. You are often more bitter than I can bear. You burn and sting me. Yet, you are beautiful to me, you faint-tinged roots. You make me think of death. Death is beautiful from you. What indeed is finally beautiful except death and love? Oh, I think it is not for life I am chanting here my chant of lovers. I think it must be for death. For how calm, how solemn it grows to ascend to the atmosphere of lovers. Death or life, I am then indifferent. My soul declines to prefer. I am not sure, but the high soul of lovers welcomes death most. Indeed, O death, I think now these leaves mean precisely the same as you mean. Grow up taller, sweet leaves, that I may see. Grow up out of my breast. Spring away from the concealed heart there. Do not fold yourself so in your pink-tinged roots, timid leaves. Do not remain down there, so ashamed, herbage of my breast. Come, I am determined to unbare this broad breast of mine. I have long enough stifled and choked. Emblematic and capricious blades, I leave you. Now you serve me not. I will say what I have to say by itself. I will sound myself and comrades only. I will never again utter a call, only their call. I will raise with it immortal reverberations through the states. I will give an example to lovers to take permanent shape and will through the states. Through me shall the words be said to make death exhilarating. Give me your tone therefore, O death, that I may accord with it. Give me yourself, for I see that you belong to me now above all, and are folded inseparably together. You love and death are. Nor will I allow you to balk me any more with what I was calling life, for now it is conveyed to me that you are the purport's essential, that you hide in these shifting forms of life for reasons, and that they are mainly for you, that you, beyond them, come forth to remain the real reality, that behind the mask of materials you patiently wait, no matter how long, that you will one day, perhaps, take control of all, that you will perhaps dissipate this entire show of appearance, that maybe you are what it is all for, but it does not last so very long, but you will last very long. Whoever you are holding me now in hand, whoever you are holding me now in hand, without one thing, all will be useless. I give you fair warning before you attempt me further. I am not what you suppose, but far different. Who is he that would become my follower? Who would sign himself a candidate for my affections? The way is suspicious, the result uncertain, perhaps destructive. You would have to give up all else. I alone would expect to be your sole and exclusive standard. Your novitiate would even then be long and exhausting. The whole past theory of your life and all conformity to the lives around you would have to be abandoned. Therefore, release me now before troubling yourself any further. Let go your hand from my shoulders. Put me down and depart on your way. Or else, by stealth, in some wood for trial, or back of a rock in the open air. For in any roofed room of a house I emerge not, nor in company, and in libraries I lie as one dumb, a gawk, or unborn, or dead. But just possibly with you on a high hill, first watching lest any person for miles around approach unawares, or possibly with you sailing at sea, or on the beach of the sea, or some quiet island, here to put your lips upon mine, I permit you, with a comrade's long-dwelling kiss, or the new husband's kiss, for I am the new husband, and I am the comrade. Or if you will, thrusting me beneath your clothing, where I may feel the throbs of your heart or rest upon your hip, carry me when you go forth over land or sea. For thus merely touching you is enough, is best, and thus touching you would I silently sleep and be carried eternally. But these leaves, conning you, con at peril. For these leaves and me, you will not understand. They will elude you at first, and still more afterward. I will certainly elude you, even while you should think you had unquestionably caught me. Behold, already you see I have escaped from you. For it is not for what I have put into it that I have written this book, nor is it by reading it you will acquire it. Nor do those know me best who admire me and vauntingly praise me. Nor will the candidates for my love, unless at most a very few, prove victorious. Nor will my poems do good only. They will do just as much evil, perhaps more. For all is useless without that which you may guess at many times and not hit. That which I hinted at. Therefore, release me and depart on your way. Of the terrible doubt of appearances. Of the terrible doubt of appearances. Of the uncertainty, after all, that we may be deluded. That maybe reliance and hope are but speculations after all. That maybe identity beyond the grave is a beautiful fable only. Maybe the things I perceive, the animals, plants, men, hills, shining and flowing waters, the skies of day and night, colors, densities, forms, maybe these are, as doubtless they are, only apparitions, and the real something has yet to be known. How often they dart out of themselves as if to confound me and mock me. How often I think neither I know nor any man knows aught of them. Maybe seeming to me what they are, as doubtless they indeed but seem, as from my present point of view, and might prove, as of course they would, naught of what they appear, or naught anyhow from entirely changed points of view. To me, these and the like of these are curiously answered by my lovers, my dear friends. When he whom I love travels with me, or sits a long while holding me by the hand, when the subtle air, the impalpable, the sense that words and reason hold not, surround us and pervade us, then I am charged with untold and untellable wisdom. I am silent. I require nothing further. I cannot answer the question of appearances or that of identity beyond the grave. But I walk or sit, indifferent. I am satisfied. He, a hold of my hand, has completely satisfied me. The base of all metaphysics. And now, gentlemen, a word I give to remain in your memories and minds, as base and finale, too, for all metaphysics. So, to the students, the old professor at the close of his crowded course. Having studied the new and antique, the Greek and Germanic systems, Kant, having studied and stated, Fichte and Schelling and Hegel, stated the law of Plato, and Socrates greater than Plato, and greater than Socrates sought and stated, Christ divine, having studied long, I see reminiscent today those Greek and Germanic systems, see the philosophies all, Christian churches and tenets see, yet underneath Socrates clearly see, and underneath Christ the divine I see, the dear love of man for his comrade, the attraction of friend to friend, of the well-married husband and wife, of children and parents, of city for city and land for land. When I heard at the close of the day, how my name had been received with plaudits in the capital, still it was not a happy night for me that followed. And else, when I caroused, or when my plans were accomplished, still I was not happy. But the day when I rose at dawn from the bed of perfect health, refreshed, singing, inhaling the ripe breath of autumn, when I saw the full moon in the west grow pale and disappear in the morning light, when I wandered alone over the beach, and undressing, bathed, laughing with the cool waters, and saw the sun rise. And when I thought how my dear friend, my lover, was on his way coming, oh, then I was happy. Oh, then each breath tasted sweeter, and all that day my food nourished me more, and the beautiful day passed well. And the next came with equal joy, and with the next at evening came my friend, and that night, while all was still, I heard the waters roll slowly, continually up the shores. I heard the hissing rustle of the liquid and sands as directed to me, whispering to congratulate me, for the one I love most lay sleeping by me under the same cover in the cool night. In the stillness, in the autumn moonbeams, his face was inclined toward me, and his arm lay lightly around my breast. And that night, I was happy.